Welcome to Kaz National Bible Hour, a ministry of Mission Go. I'm Brian Albrecht, the President Emeritus and Director of Kaz National Bible Hour, and we are trying to reach the world for Jesus Christ. And Kaz National Bible Hour is one of our ministries to share the good news of the gospel around the world.
And the verse that was shared with me at a vacation Bible school was found in Acts chapter 16, verse 31, which says, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved." That verse was shared with me, and I went home and contemplated it as a boy of 12, and I believed it and asked Jesus Christ to come into my heart. And I believe that verse changed my life, and I believe that that verse is true, and I believe that it'll change other people's lives. If you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, if you have faith in Christ, you will become a child of God. What a great blessing.
Glory to His name. Glory to His name. Glory to His name. There to my heart was the blood of Christ. Glory to His name.
This is Dennis Campbell, President of Mission Go. This week on the broadcast, I would like to continue sharing mission moments from some of our missionaries so that you can glimpse their lives. Supporting people in the mission field is essential for Christians because it aligns with the teachings of Jesus Christ, which is to spread the gospel and make disciples of all nations. By supporting missionaries, Christians can help fulfill the Great Commission and bring the message of salvation to those who have not heard it. Here are some biblical verses that emphasize the importance of missions and supporting missionaries. Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 and 20. "Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you to the very end of the age." Romans chapter 10, verses 14 and 15. "How can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can anyone preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news." Mark chapter 16, verse 15. He said to them, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation." Luke chapter 10, verse 2. He told them, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field." Supporting missionaries financially through prayer and with encouragement is a way for Christians to participate in spreading the gospel and advancing God's kingdom on earth. Here is a report about our dear Jim and Sandy Belair recently. While in Rockford, Illinois, Jim and Sandy have had an opportunity with one of their supporting churches to help disciple a few young people from a local African immigrant church. This supporting church is trying to help these young people understand biblical words, concepts, and spiritual truth. It is a timely reminder of the value of prayer support for ministry. We all know that only the Holy Spirit can illuminate one's mind to understand His life-saving truth. Acts chapter 16, verse 14. From the young man Ben Hand, his contact Juan helped lead a Spanish worship service together. And since then, Juan has been helping Ben with their Sunday morning worship team. God has been working in his heart to come to true faith. Despite his strong religious background and upbringing, he did not fully trust in Jesus for eternal life. God gave Ben one-on-one time to talk with Juan and disciple him at each worship team practice. Recently, they got lunch and discussed their next steps in the faith journey by reading and studying the scriptures together. From Dominican Republic, Clay and Carly Thacker had been praying for one of their contacts and her salvation, and praise God, she received Christ recently. They are so thankful that the Lord answered. They are also praising God for the opportunity that Clay has to teach the Bible instead of science for this upcoming school year. Clay's heart is for teaching and preaching God's word, so this is an amazing opportunity to disciple young students. Another couple in the Dominican Republic, Limburg and Amanda Rojas, shared that God has allowed them to visit the Dominican Republic for 2 weeks in August. They helped in the ministry, looked for future long-term housing, connected with the local community, and familiarized themselves with the town more. This trip was a vital step in their preparation to serve full-time, and they are eager to continue to build relationships with the wonderful people there. They also had the opportunity to collect school supplies for the local public school. Seeing how God is working to bring the gospel to the local public school is exciting. Monthly teacher meetings take place where Limburg and Amanda have been invited to hear real concerns that teachers have for their students and their families, and then help them process what the Bible says about those issues. Also, every Tuesday, they're given access to the middle and high school classes for Bible study. They believe that this time is invaluable because we are sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ with every student, sixth grade and above, each Tuesday. We don't typically see immediate results, but over the last year, five students have stepped forward to say that they believe wholeheartedly in the God of the Bible, that they want to now be student leaders and help facilitate Tuesday morning Bible studies with each class. Disciples making disciples. This is what it's all about. These are just a few of the wonderful reports that have reached my desk this week. Please join me in prayer for these and other who are serving daily, sharing the gospel. Please have a blessed week. Thank you for joining us today. If you would like to learn more about this international mission, if you or someone you know is interested in a career or short-term or other mission opportunities, if you would like a speaker to come to your church or present to a local group to share about the mission field and the work that is being done to build the kingdom, please don't hesitate to reach out to us. Contact us, our website at missiongo.org. We look forward to connecting with you and exploring the world of international missions together. Remember, your journey starts with a single step. Reach out today. Go on mission with Mission Go. This is Dennis Campbell, president of Mission Go, an international mission sending agency. Thank you for listening to Canada's National Bible Hour. This is a listener-supported broadcast. This month we offer Stress to the Max Peace for Women Under Pressure by Joni Erickson Tata. Does it seem like your to-do list always gets longer instead of shorter? Do you try to slow down but find yourself scrambling to keep up? Stress is unavoidable, but it often seems you have more than your fair share. You can't continue at this pace forever, but there doesn't seem to be a way out. With characteristic understanding and compassion, Joni Erickson Tada helps you begin to slow down and sort through the sources of your stress. She offers the spiritual refreshment of Christ's loving presence and words of encouragement, along with practical, empowering suggestions for exchanging a stressful lifestyle for a life of rest. This program would not be on the air without your support and prayers. Thank you again. To order your copy, please write to Canada's National Bible Hour, Postal Box 1210, St. Catharines, Code L2R7A7, or in the U.S., P.O. Box 2010, Buffalo, New York, zip code 14231.
Today's message is from Dr. Fred Hartman, is entitled Isaiah, Behold My Servant. Printed copies are available upon request.
For some time now, we've been going through the prophetic promises in the book of Isaiah. Today, I'd like to look at these prophecies from a little different perspective. We're going to look at the passage that refer to three different servants of God, a discouraged one, a disappointing one, and a desired one. We learn of the first one in Isaiah 20, verses 3 and 4. And the Lord said, Like as my servant Isaiah hath walked naked and barefoot 3 years, for a sign and wonder upon Egypt and upon Ethiopia, so shall the king of Assyria lead away the Egyptian prisoners, and the Ethiopian captives, young and old, naked and barefoot, even with their buttocks uncovered, to the shame of Egypt. This is certainly not a very encouraging sign that Isaiah had to endure. But this is only one part of the story that caused me to call him the discouraged servant. By the way, how would you or I handle this demand if God put it upon us? To better understand why we call him a discouraged servant, we must look at chapter 6. There we find Isaiah seeing a vision of God, high and holy, seated upon his throne. Recognizing God's holiness, Isaiah cries out that he is unclean, dwelling among a people who are just like him. Then a seraphim took a live coal from off the altar, touched his mouth with it, and declared his sins were removed. Then the Lord asked who would go for him and be his servant. The original Hebrew gives the idea that God repeatedly asked this question. Finally, Isaiah said, "Here am I, send me." Then the Lord went on to give him his mission, which would be a very difficult one. And he said, "Go and tell this people, hear ye indeed, but understand not, and see ye indeed, but perceive not. Make the heart of this people fat, and make their ears heavy, and shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and convert and be healed." He was going to his people with God's message of coming judgment upon Judah, unless they repented. God clearly warned Isaiah that no matter what he did or how he preached, the nation would not turn back to the Lord, and God's judgment would fall years later when they would be defeated and taken captive by Babylon. The prophet then asked the Lord how long this would be. He was told it would be until the cities were laid waste and the houses empty and the land would be utterly desolate. However, though this was so, there would be a very small remnant of his people who would remain faithful to the Lord. Throughout his life, Isaiah must have been a very discouraged servant. He preached his heart out, and as we have seen earlier, faced many trials. In the 11th chapter of the book of Hebrews, we're given a list of the heroes of the faith. In verse 37, it mentioned those who were sawn asunder. Tradition has it that Isaiah died as a martyr, being sawed in two. He was very faithful to God's calling, but must have been very discouraged throughout his life. I wonder if you or I would be willing to faithfully serve the Lord under such conditions that this discouraged prophet faced. The second servant is a disappointing servant. This servant is Jacob, or Israel. We have already seen that Isaiah would go to his people, and they would not hear him, see him, or understand his message. Let's just think for a moment why the Lord called out Abraham, then Isaac, and Jacob, or Israel. He wanted them to be the people to reveal God to the world. And thus, through them, we have the Bible. They wrote it and preserved it. They were also to take the message to the world, but in this they failed. God sent his Son through them, and they largely have rejected him. They were a disappointing servant to God. In Isaiah 42, we read about this people beginning in verse 18. "Hear ye deaf, and look ye blind, that ye may see. Who is blind but my servant, or deaf as my messenger that I sent? Who is blind as he that is perfect, and blind as the Lord's servant? Seeing many things, but thou observest not. Opening the ears, but he heareth not. The Lord is well pleased for his righteousness' sake. He will magnify the law and make it honorable. But this is a people, robbed and spoiled. They are all of them snared in holes. They are hid in prison houses. They are for a prey, and none delivereth. For a spoil, and none saith restore. Who among you will give ear to this? Who will hearken and hear for the time to come? Who gave Jacob for a spoil and Israel to the robbers? Did not the Lord? He against whom we have sinned? For they would not walk in his ways, neither were they obedient to his law. Therefore he hath poured upon him the fury of his anger and the strength of battle, and it has set him on fire round about. Yet he knew not, and it burned him, yet he laid it not to heart." What are these verses talking about? They're showing us that the servant Jacob or Israel would not listen to the Lord and obey him. Because of this, they were facing the judgment of God as he brought nations against them and discipline upon them. They were the disappointing servant. In my many years of ministry, there have been many occasions when older people came to me with broken hearts, for they have failed to obey the Lord's direction in their lives. Because of these many difficulties had come their way. I remember some years ago holding a women's meeting on a Monday morning in a church. I thought it wise to break the ice by asking each one to share how they had come to Christ. The very first woman told how she had been called by the Lord to go to the mission field, but had married an unbelieving husband who was still unsaved. Right then I stopped the meeting, and we all prayed for her husband to be saved. Just then her teenage daughter unexpectedly came in and sat next to her mom. She was the next one in line to give her testimony. She shared how that she had come to know the Lord and that very morning she wanted to surrender her life to go to the mission field. and she had not even heard her mother's testimony. The place was electric. There was not a dry eye in the place. Not only did that happen, but on the last night of the meetings, the woman's husband came and was saved. The woman had been through some difficult times because of some early failures to obey the Lord, but there was victory at last. The last I heard, the daughter was in Bible college preparing to go to the mission field. So it was with Israel. When Isaiah wrote his book, Israel was under the discipline of the Lord. But one day, the scripture indicates, the nation as a whole will finally turn to the Lord at the second coming of the Lord Jesus. Until then, they will still be a hated people. Israel was a disappointing servant of the Lord. My friend, may I ask you, what kind of a servant of the Lord are you? Discouraged? Disappointing to the Lord? Or all that God desires you to be? The third and last servant is the desired servant. This servant is a person. We are introduced to him in chapter 42, the very same chapter where we saw the disappointing servant Israel. Note the first several verses of this chapter. Behold my servant, whom I uphold, mine elect, in whom my soul delighteth. I have put my spirit upon him. He shall bring forth judgment to the Gentiles. He shall not cry, nor lift up, nor cause his voice to be heard in the street. A bruised reed shall he not break, and the smoking flax shall he not quench. He shall bring forth judgment unto truth. He shall not fail, nor be discouraged, till he have set judgment in the earth. And the isles shall wait for his law. I, the Lord, have called thee in righteousness, and will hold thine hand, and will keep thee and give thee for a covenant of the people, for a light of the Gentiles, to open the blind eyes, to bring out the prisoners from the prison, and let them that sit in darkness out of the prison house. That's Isaiah 42, verses 1 to 4 and 6 to 7. This servant will have been sent by God. He will come in a very quiet way, but his ministry will reach out to the nations of the earth, to turn him to the Lord. Instead of this servant being blind like Israel was, he will open blind eyes to see the truths of the Lord, and in no way will he be discouraged. This desired servant will be Israel's Messiah, Jesus Christ. Though he will be born of the tribe of Judah, he will reach out to the entire world with a message of the gospel that will open eyes that are blinded to the truth, to see and be freed from their sinful and lost condition. In Isaiah 49, we have some very amazing verses. When you first read them, they may seem a bit confusing. Let's read verses 3 to 7. And he said unto me, Thou art my servant, O Israel, in whom I will be glorified. Then I said, I have labored in vain. I have spent my strength for naught, and in vain. Yet surely my judgment is with the Lord, and my work is with my God. And now saith the Lord that formed me from the womb to be his servant, to bring Jacob again to him, though Israel be not gathered, yet shall I be glorious in the eyes of the Lord. And my God shall be my strength. And he said, It is a light thing that thou shouldst be my servant, to raise up the tribes of Jacob, and to restore the preserved of Israel. I will also give thee for a light to the Gentiles, that thou mayest be my salvation to the end of the earth. Thus saith the Lord, the Redeemer of Israel and his Holy One, to him whom man despiseth, to him whom the nation abhorreth, to a servant of rulers, kings shall see and arise, princes also shall worship, because of the Lord that is faithful, and the Holy One of Israel, and he shall choose thee. I freely admit I struggled with these verses for a long time. Who is this servant of the Lord? Is it Israel, or is there another servant? I thought, how can a sinful, wicked nation deliver itself? How can they take God's message to the ends of the earth? Then I saw something that stood out and made it very clear who this servant is. In a previous verse, it talks about this servant being in the bowels of his mother. Then in one of the verses we read, it tells us he was taken from the womb. In the Jewish genealogies, they always go through the male. But here it is speaking of the servant coming from his mother. This is another way of God declaring the virgin birth. This servant coming from the line of Jacob and who will deliver Israel. This is none other than the long-desired Messiah of Israel, Jesus Christ. He will come from Jacob and deliver Israel, something Israel could not do for itself. Furthermore, through Christ, the message of the gospel will reach unto the end of the earth. Here is the desired servant of the book of Isaiah. For our final look at this desired servant in Isaiah, we must consider the last three verses of chapter 52. Behold, my servant shall deal prudently. He shall be exalted and extolled, and be very high. As many were astonished or astounded at thee, his visage was so marred more than any man, and his form more than the sons of men. So shall he sprinkle many nations. The kings shall shut their mouths at him, for that which has not been told them shall they see, and that which they had not heard shall they consider. This makes it all very clear. The desired servant will one day be lifted up very high and exalted above all others, even the kings of the earth. But before that happens, he will be pummeled by the crowds, spit upon, mocked, and finally crucified. Though this is a horrible picture of what would happen to Isaiah's desired servant, it was nothing compared to what he went through as he bore the punishment for the sins of the world upon that old rugged cross just outside the gates of Jerusalem. It was there that he bore your sins and mine. He is the desired servant, the one that will touch nations. He is the one that will cause the leaders of the world to be silent one day when he returns to the earth. Though they often glorify itself, one day they'll stand in shame before him, not able to say a word. God sent this desired servant out of Jacob or Israel for one special purpose, to pay the penalty for your sins and mine. As we read the book of Isaiah, we see a prophet foretelling the event 800 years before it happened. But the message is still there for us today. The message is that anyone can trust in Christ and have their sins forgiven and have eternal life with him. You can recognize you're a sinner, recognize he paid the penalty for your sins, and ask him to come into your life right now. He will do it. Then you can personally know this desired servant Isaiah wrote about so long ago.
I'm sure the Lord used this message in your life, and I trust that God will continue to work in your life throughout this next week. Here at Canada's National Bible Hour, we're very concerned about those who listen to our broadcasts. We pray for those who write in with requests, and also we're concerned about those who have never received Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. And the gospel is made very clear. We all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We know that the wages of that sin, the payment for our sin, is death, spiritual death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And so basically we realize that we're a sinner and we need a Savior, and we ask Jesus to come into our life. We realize that God loves us and wants to have a relationship with us. And as we pray and ask him, but as many as receive him, unto them gave he the right to become the children of God. So if we pray and ask Jesus to come into our life and we're sincere, the Bible tells us that we'll be changed, and we have the Holy Spirit indwelling us, then our sins are forgiven. We have a relationship with God, and we can study the Word of God, and we can grow and know more about him, and he will bless us and use us in a mighty way.
Remember to order your copy of Stress to the Max, Peace for Women Under Pressure by Joni Erickson Tada. To order your copy, please write to Canada's National Bible Hour, Postal Box 1210, St. Catharines, Code L2R7A7, or in the U.S., P.O. Box 2010, Buffalo, New York, zip code 14231. For more information about the Ministries of Mission, go visit www.missiongo.org. Please remember us in your prayers. Please have a blessed day.